Morning, everyone. Again, I continue to stand in need of your prayers as we try to talk about the Lord's wonderful grace to us and the blessings that He gives us on a daily basis, in addition to the gift of eternal life that He bestowed upon us before the world began. 2 weeks ago, when I was here, we had Brother Stephen Ross introduced for us, and he talked about, out of Numbers 31, and about that complicated subjects that are in Numbers and Deuteronomy, and that has to do with being clean and unclean. And he got my mind to thinking about that, and so that's kind of what I want to talk about a little bit here this morning. Hopefully keep it in a layman's terms. As he said, Numbers and Deuteronomy, those two books, that's where most of the law of Moses was given, and that's the old law, and it's pretty complicated, and I won't say it's difficult to read. It's not that hard to read. It's just real boring to read because you just read about all the clean and unclean animals and the clean and unclean things. But what I want to talk about is the importance of that. It's not important that you know the details. It is important that you know the big picture of that and what that means to us. And hopefully that's what if the Lord be with us, that's what we'll talk about today. I'm going to start with the 21st chapter of Matthew. In the 12th verse, and in this scenario, just right before this, Jesus has made what's known as his triumphant entry into the city. He's come back in the city just a few days before Passover and a few days before he would be tortured and crucified on the cross and then died and buried and resurrected. This is right before that. He's just made his entry into the city, and one of the first things he does after he comes back into the city, and this, you know, this triumphal entry is said to be on Palm Sunday. I believe it occurred on Friday. But anyway, it's on what most people would refer to as Palm Sunday, when people laid down tree branches in front of him and stood and kind of made a little of a parade honoring him as he came into the city. As soon as he got into the city, we're down to verse 12 of Matthew 21. And this is the first thing that Jesus did. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. This is what is known as Jesus cleansing the temple. You know, what he did is he ran people out of the temple, and what you had inside the temple was that day were guys that were money changers. People came from Jerusalem, especially with Passover on the verge of happening here just a couple of days later. A lot of people were coming into Jerusalem from all the cities. You can go over Book of Acts chapter 2, and you can see where all the citizens that were in Jerusalem, where they were from. Jews came back home, but they were all from other countries, and they all spoke different languages, and we know that's where the Apostle Peter preached to them on the day of Pentecost. And even though apostles spoke in their own language, people heard it in their different languages wherever they were from. So that was the great miracle of the day of Pentecost. But we're backed up four or five days before that time, or not 4 or 5 days, about 14 days before that time. And Jesus, when he comes in the city, and this is the last week that he's alive, he came in the city, he went in and cleaned the temple. Now, what he was doing, he was cleaning the temple of all the unclean things that were in it. One of the very obvious and literal lessons for us in this is that we are to keep the temple clean. Now, we know that when you get over in Corinthians, and hopefully we'll talk about that, Corinthians chapter 3, or 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul tells us that, you know, we don't have a temple anymore, a physical temple anymore. The temple is us. It's us. In 1 Corinthians 3 tells us that the temple is the congregation, the church. It's you. As a group, you now are the temple. When you get together, you're worshiping in the temple, and the Lord comes down and can make his presence known in that temple at that time. Then over at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul tells us that the temple is you individually, because we know the Lord puts himself inside you now, puts himself in your heart. You now become the center of his worship, sir. He writes his laws into your heart and into your mind out of Hebrews chapter 8, and he puts himself inside us, and each one of us individually is a temple. That's the reason back in the old days, you know, they'd go to the temple because the Lord would be present there. The Lord would come and bring himself down the tabernacle and temple. He would bring himself down above the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, and he would make his presence known, and everybody knew about it. Well, today, the Lord comes and makes himself present in your heart. That's the reason you don't have to go to the temple to pray. You can pray in the cornfield, in the cotton field. You can pray, you know, no matter where you are, out on the tractor. You can pray driving down the highway. You can pray while you're working. Anytime, you can turn inside yourself to the temple, and you can pray because the Lord has put himself inside you. In this case, this was the physical temple. This was the last days of the last temple we had. And Jesus comes back in and, again, trying to give us a lesson. You need to keep the temple clean. In this case, you had people there because you had all these people coming in from out of town. They were coming in. They were going to the temple. That was the only temple that existed, physical temple that existed at the time. And so people would come in and want to make sacrifices, get the priest to make sacrifices for them. Well, they didn't bring animals with them, so they had to buy animals. And most of the time, they bought doves. Most people were very poor, and was a typical sacrifice in the temple in those days was the doves. And it says, you know, it's here the people that bought and sold doves. Well, if I was one of these guys, I would sit in the temple table, set up a table and says, you want to make a sacrifice, you need to come and buy doves from me. And I'm using that as an opportunity to make money. Christ did not like the fact that people were making money off what was allegedly, you know, the worship service of him. You know, you've turned it into a den of thieves. You're making money off the church. So secondly, he said all the money changers. If you want to come and contribute money, you would get your money changed from whatever country you came. Just like today, we have, you know, a rate of currency change. If I want to go to Europe, I can trade in my dollars and get euros or whatever it is, and depending on what country it is, I can get that currency, and I make those changes. And when you do that, people are going to make 2, 3, 4, 5, 10% off that change. You pay for that exchanging. It's like going to get the dollar changer, and you put a dollar in, you get 95 cents back. They charge you a certain percentage to make change. That's what they were doing in the temple that day, and those were the two things that he points out. But they're selling all sorts of things inside the temple. So one of the lessons here to us today, the very simple practical lesson is, we need to keep our temple clean. We only need to have the things going on in it that would be sanctioned by the Lord. And that's not to make money off the Lord's people. We don't come in here and set up booths to try to make money off each other. We don't come in and set up booths here so that we can charge you to come in worship service like they did with the doves, or to, you know, to change money in any way. We don't make money. Use the church and use the premises here to make money off the Lord's people. And we're to keep that the purpose for why we're here. We're here for a holy purpose, to worship God. And that's got to be our focus. And everything must be centered around that. And that's what Jesus was teaching us. He also, you know, it's here in Matthew, but it's also in Mark 11, Luke 19, and John chapter 2, where all that same, we believe he cleansed the temple twice. Luke 2 is the first time. The other three are the second time he cleansed the temple. And so it was important to him to prove, and they would put it in Scripture, that it's important that we keep our temple clean, not only physically clean, but spiritually clean. Because we're there to worship the Lord. We're not there to practice the things of the world and make money off of them. You know, the issue of being clean didn't start here. Cleaning the temple didn't start here. I'll hopefully talk about Azaz and Hezekiah, the two kings of Israel, a little bit, and how they addressed this issue, kings of Judah, excuse me. But it also even started back in the Old Testament. And this is a little bit what Brother Stephen was telling us about 2 weeks ago, was the fact that the difference between clean and unclean. And that's the issue that is addressed in the book of Moses, the law of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The first five books is the law of Moses. And in that's where he laid out all these 613 laws that the Jewish people had to follow. And it centers in large part on what's clean and what's unclean. It had to do not only with the body, but it also had to do with the things that enter the body, the food and the environment around you. You had to keep yourself clean personally. Now, you know, and he goes through and describes all those in great detail. He also talked about you had to keep yourself clean from what you ate and touched and physically came in contact with. So that was the version. There were certain things that were clean and unclean, and if you're in this world, you were going to become unclean from time to time, just because not only stuff that wasn't subject to your control, but stuff that might touch you, contaminate you from the outside. And you had to then clean yourself back up, get yourself clean to live in society, but you also had to then get yourself physically clean to go back and worship with the people, to go back and join your family, to join your tribe. So the Lord put great emphasis on being clean and unclean. You go back and read the details of that in Numbers and Leviticus. And I encourage you to. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that Bible reading. But I want you to get the big picture that we're talking about here. Lord had created this earth. You know, it took 1,000 years or so for it to kind of populate a little bit. And it's been several thousand years since then. And we have learned from that. The Lord has given us a brain and knowledge, and we've learned. But if you look, go back and look at the picture back as it was then, he created a new people. They lived out in the woodlands. They didn't instantly be living in nice houses, nice brick homes and things, and have all these great things we have today, medicines at the drugstore and hospitals to work with. People lived outside. They lived out in huts. They lived in, you know, on the land, and they lived in caves many times like that. You had, at that time, when people lived like that, they turned into savages. And you see a lot of examples of that in the Bible. The Lord gave this law to Moses to create a clean people, not only physically, but spiritually. It's what separated the Jewish people from the rest of the world. The rest of the world were savages, and you see that a lot of times when you read the Bible stories back in the Old Testament about some of the battles they had, and the savagery and the immorality and the things that existed in the world there. But the Lord commanded his people, the Jewish people, not to engage in those things. It's important we have an understanding of that in order for us to have an understanding of how that would apply to us today. You know, people lived off the land. They had no clue how to live. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to eat or not to eat. They ate whatever was in front of them. They get hungry and they eat whatever they want to. The Lord put down the law of Moses about there's a difference between clean and unclean things. We'll go back with you briefly to show you how early this started. Back in chapter 6 of Genesis, the Lord talked about the wickedness of mankind and how wicked the world had become. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his hearts was on evil continually." Because, remember, this is when people lived outside the land. They were cavemen. They were savages. And they were brutal and cruel. And they ate, you know, they ate food, and they would eat it sometimes raw, and they wouldn't cook it good, and they would kill it and eat it out, and sometimes try to lay the meat aside for several days before they would finish eating off of it. So they had a lot of practices then that just weren't fit to live by. We've talked many times about this Bible is not a book for your eternal salvation. That was taken care of before the world began. But the salvation that this book talks about in almost every case is salvation today and tomorrow. How do you live in this world? That's what the New Testament is all about. How to live in this world. It's what Jesus' Sermon on the Mount was about. How to live in this world and live with each other. That's what it's always been from the start. The Lord was trying to, first of all, as a very practical matter, tell his people how you live in this world. How you can live when things are like they are. Now, he has blessed us with a brain, and we've taken knowledge and we've created training. They didn't have schools. We have tremendous schools these days in which we teach people. You know, you go out and you in that time, and if you were a caveman, you went out and you found a dead deer. It may have been dead 4 or 5 days, but you could, you know, you're hungry. You take it and you could eat it, and you'd have unsanitary type conditions. You know, we know you don't do that. They didn't know that then. They didn't have any clue you do that then. That's what these clean and unclean laws were about. So the Lord could teach his people as a practical matter how you live every day. Don't touch anything dead. You know, that's one of these examples. You don't do anything. When you talk about the cleanliness of a person, let me finish where I was so you know that. In chapter 7 of Genesis 6, it said, "The Lord said unto Noah," you know, he said everything was terrible in the earth, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord commissioned Noah to build this great ark so that he was going to destroy the earth, But he found grace in Noah and loved him, and he told him to build an ark so that the earth can be repopulated. Took his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And then he says, and we got to have animals to populate. And people said, well, he only took clean animals on the ark, or he only took animals. And this is interesting, and you know, it's why it's good to read the Bible, to read the details. Chapter 7 of Genesis says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. He'd had Noah built the ark. The ark is now built. For thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation. You're the only one I've seen that's righteous. In verse 2 of chapter 7, of every clean beast. The Lord then is specific. And look what he tells him. We think about going in the ark two by two. So Noah took two of every kind of animal in the ark. Doesn't say that. Look what it does say. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens. Sevens is plural. I believe he took, and it says, by sevens, the male and his female. So you would take seven males and females. Seven couples is what I believe that's referring to. So you took 14 of each kind of animal. Ark's getting crowded pretty quick here. But you took, of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and the female. And of the beasts that are not clean, by two, the male and the female. So the animals that were not clean, and Noah had to make a division right then between clean and unclean animals. And the Lord gave him the knowledge to do that. Also the fowls of the air, by sevens, the male and the female, to keep the seed alive upon the face of all the earth. This is so that the earth can be repopulated, not only with mankind, but also with the animal kingdom. Verse 8, of the clean beast, even then the Lord is separating the difference between clean and unclean. Of the clean beasts, and of the beasts that are not clean, and under the fowls, and of everything that creepeth on the earth, there went in two by two into the ark, the male and the female. That's how they walked into it, male and female. They walked in together. Now, of the clean beasts, though, he said take seven. Of the unclean, he only take two pairs. He took seven pairs of the clean and only two pairs of the unclean. Now, the rain fell, and we know that after it dried up and they landed on dry land, verse 20, first thing Noah did, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. When it came time to worship the Lord, the altar was the first church. Noah had one, Abraham had one, Jacob had one, and if you go back and read those examples, every time they sacrificed clean beasts, they were told that altar constituted holy ground, and they were to keep everything about themselves and what they brought as a sacrifice clean. They sacrificed only clean animals. They would sacrifice lambs. They wouldn't sacrifice snakes and the creepy things that crawl on the earth. You know, and certain fish like shrimp and lobster that we know is pretty good, those were unclean animals. And bacon and sausage, pig was an unclean animal. So, you know, you didn't sacrifice those things. Now, before we go much further here, let me talk a little bit about clean and unclean. The unclean animal, the clean animals, the Lord says you can eat of these, take care of them, and keep them clean. And that's what you use for sacrifices, to worship a holy God. You got to use clean animal. And then the unclean, you stay away from them and keep from them. And then, also unclean, is every... back in Leviticus Numbers, every animal that has died, whether it's clean or unclean, when it's died and dead, it becomes unclean unless you kill it and immediately prepare it to eat. That's what the Lord told them to do. You keep it clean, but once you kill it, you got to prepare it to eat and food and cook it and go forward then. Now, you didn't do that with unclean. You didn't eat the unclean animals. The New Testament, that changed. We eat pork today. We eat shrimp, which I love, and lobster, and we eat a lot of the creepy things of the earth that were unclean. We eat those now. Lord changed that when he came. He changed that because if you remember back, the easy example is Acts chapter 10 when the Lord lowered this big sheet down for Peter and it was full of unclean animals, creepy things and crawly things. It says all those animals that were unclean. And he told Peter, kill and eat. This is your food now. You can eat unclean things. Now that had a natural application and it had a spiritual application. Had a natural application, he removed the distinction for us to be able to eat it and things. And he also then told Peter, also treat man the same way. Don't you call anything unclean that I've cleaned. And he was opening up the Gentile world to to be part of his people, his divine and holy people. The Gentiles were akin or aligned or analogized, whatever, I've lost my word now. But the Gentiles to unclean, and now they have become clean too. He changed the rules in the New Testament for us, and now we eat pork. But guess what? We know now how to cook pork, and we cook it. Pork and, you know, pork and pig were unclean because they eat slop. They eat things of the earth. They destroy. If you've ever seen the hogs out in the wild today, when they get wild, they root up everything. They eat everything. You kill a hog and leave it laying there, the other hogs will come back and eat it, eat their own. I mean, they're unclean animals. Now, you can fix that because we now have ability to cook them and cook them at high temperature and eliminate all that disease. But hogs and the creepy things that crawl the earth were full of disease back then. That's why you didn't eat them. That's what the Lord was trying to protect us from, keep us from unclean things. He also said, you know, unclean, you got to keep your body clean too. If you got yourself unclean, then you couldn't come back to the tabernacle. You couldn't worship. Couldn't worship him because worship service was holy. He said, you know, if you've got any discharges from the body, that makes you unclean. You don't get yourself be contaminated by those discharges. That's discharges from everything, simple stuff, and y'all excuse me, from going to the bathroom, to blowing your nose, to, excuse me, popping a pimple, pushing a blackhead, all those discharges from the body have an open wound in which pus or something's flowing out of that. Those are all open wounds, and he describes that in Leviticus and Numbers. Well, we know that. We know you don't do that. They didn't know that then. They didn't know, you know, they didn't understand that. You don't understand that as a kid because we're trained. You know, you get your nose all running out, first thing you do is grab a napkin or a Kleenex and you wipe yourself clean. Does a baby know to do that? No. How many times have you seen babies and kids that just got, you know, all their faces covered with a runny nose? You got to clean them off, and no, they don't want that. They don't like that. You know, they're not trained that way. We have known, the Lord has given us a brain in our society's root. We now understand the difference between clean and unclean. All sorts of discharges that had to do with immorality, from sexuality to menstrual situations to war. You got wounded in war, and you were blood was bleeding from you. You didn't mix those back and forth between the two of us. We now understand that difference. They didn't know that then. The Lord had to teach them the very basics. He was treating them all like kids because they didn't have the knowledge of sanitation and hygiene that we now have. Why do we have it? Because the Lord taught it to mankind. It's now become a part of our culture. Several years ago, I mean, and we've learned since then, several years ago in the early 1800s, there was a doctor. He became a matter of royalty in England. His name was Dr. Lister, L-I-S-T-E-R. He became Lord Lister because he was such a renowned physician. He became the personal doctor to Queen Victoria, a man deeply religious. He went back and said, there's got to be something to this law of Moses. He went back and studied in great detail about the clean animals and the unclean animals and about all the things that the Lord had taught us about discharges from the body and keep those separate and don't touch them, don't have anything to do with them, and keep yourself quarantined when somebody's like that. The Lord taught us, you know, you become unclean, you get a leprosy or any kind of disease of the skin, you have to separate yourself from the pack. That was the first rules of quarantine. We now understand that. You know, you get a cold, stay away from me. You got to quarantine yourself. They didn't understand that then. They didn't have a clue about that. And that's what the rules were for, so the Lord could distinguish the Jewish people, his chosen people, from the rest of the world. That was a physical thing then. It's a spiritual thing today. We need to keep ourselves clean in a spiritual sense to separate ourselves from the world. That's what we're doing here. It's what we're doing here today. That's why we worship like we do. That's why we keep our worship service simple. We keep ourselves simple. We sing. We sing from the heart. You know, we could have musical instruments. I know I love musical instruments. I didn't have enough fingers to play, you know, guitars and trombones and cornets, but I could play the drums, and I still love the drum beat today. Brother Gary is a great musician. We know that in Fiscal. He loves music, loves instrumental music. It doesn't have a place in the church. We're told in the Bible to sing from the heart. Sing from the heart. We sing from the purity spiritually, spiritual sense. We have a simple worship service. We don't let the things of the world, as best we can help them, interfere with our worship service. We come and we worship from the heart, with a clean heart as best we can. That's what we're taught, and that's what was taught from the beginning of the Old Testament. Now again, you can go back and read Numbers and Leviticus, and I've tried to do that, tried to distinguish it, and then I realized that that was the law back then for a reason. So many of the laws we know better now. Personal hygiene, we know better. Let me get back to my story about Dr. Lister at England. In the early 1800s, he was a personal physician for Queen Victoria, a deeply religious man. He went and studied the law of Moses and all these things about why you don't have people, why you separate people who have running issues out of their skin, why people go to war, and why you separate them for a while until we know better. We know when our men, first time they came back from the moon, we quarantined them in a trailer, you know, until we figured out they were not contagious. We have learned to do that. Lister was the first one that started doing that. He went back and studied the law of Moses. He was the one that developed about, hey, this is why we don't touch dead animals, because they carry a disease. You get the maggots and the flies that get on them. And we know this today even. When the diseases spread, nations over the world that have not followed the old Jewish law, nations have been lost and destroyed because of plagues that hit them, and they didn't know what to do with it, how to handle them. Well, the Lord told them that. Somebody gets a plague, first of all, you isolate them. Get them out of the tribe, get them out, and don't let them back in until they've been cleaned. They become unclean. There's certain things that happen to you be unclean. Lister figured that out. He said, hey, when we start performing surgery, he wrote in the, at that time what they had, a medical journal, it's England. Lister wrote about it, and he said, hey, when we have surgery, you need to wash. Don't spread germs inside that body. We got to keep the things outside the body. And he wrote about surgery, you need to wash yourself. Not only need to wash yourself before a surgery, you need to wash yourself before each surgery thoroughly. We need to take the instruments that we cut with, and we need to sterilize them. We need to keep germs from spreading. We got to keep those things of the outside world away and come in clean operating. He said in men of war, when you go out and you're operating on people out in the battlefield, you need to wash between every surgery. You know, the physicians were so busy then, they'd operate on one person, get blood on their hands, and they'd go operate on the other person, physically on their hands. They would spread those germs not only to themselves, but from one patient to the next. Lister, in his writings and his research, based on his study of the law of Moses, said, we don't do that anymore. He laid the groundwork for the stopping of the spreading of germs and the knowledge of that for us more than anybody else. He was the one that wrote about it the strongest and in the greatest terms about we need to keep, especially surgeries and touching people. Now today, you go into a doctor's office and they start examining you, they put on rubber gloves. Not only are they keeping it from whatever disease I might have from spreading to them, they're keeping them from spreading it to other people. You know, and they, Lister used to sterilize his instruments, make sure they were sterilized. Well, you know, that's supposed to, they do everything they can. They're not always successful at it, but they do everything they can to sterilize when someone is sick around them. That was the clean and the unclean. Today, many of you may have heard of Lister because there's a product, famous product that's named after him, Listerine, because it disinfects, it kills germs. That's what they played on. I don't know whether he or his family got any royalty out of that, but that was named after him because of all the work he did in sterilization. That's what we've learned. Now, we're not savagery anymore because we have taken the knowledge that the Lord instilled in the Jewish people and with the law of Moses and built on it. We've become much more knowledgeable. We're a much more advanced society. We wouldn't be advanced had not our ancestors followed the basic laws of Moses. It would, in fact, there probably wouldn't be any nations left on the earth if the Jewish people hadn't kept them separate and taught these same rules to themselves and to the other people. You know, we talk about the great plagues of the world, and the great plagues of the world have almost destroyed England. Remember the great Black Plague of England. You know, right now we have, in the United States now, we have the famous Center for Disease Control. All they focus on is when there's a new disease or some disease, putting a stop on it and not letting it spread. And they have all sorts of rules and regulations. Center for Disease Control, if you've ever been to it in Atlanta, I got a chance to visit it one day, and they've got all this, it's a great museum there, about it was created back in World War II for the men who were at war. Men who were at war are always subject to more disease than anybody else. When our American men would go off and fight wars in England, they'd be subjected to a lot more disease, physical disease. You know, you go out and you live in the battlefield and you don't bathe for a while. Your feet get a special abuse and they stay inside your boots and you wear the same socks and underwear for days at a time, and all these type of diseases. That's why the Center for Disease Control was created, was to help our American men, especially when they came back, to help treat them for the diseases that they would get out in the world. All this lays the groundwork. Is all of these things that we know today on clean and unclean have arisen because of the practical laws that the Lord put in place for us and for the Jewish people back then to separate his people from the savages of the world. If I can lay it out so plain and clear, that's what it was done. And that's why all this was done. It began back then, and that's why the book of Leviticus and Numbers are there to tell the people as a practical matter to live in this world, keep yourselves clean. And when you're unclean, you separate yourselves out until you become clean and you come back in. The first rules of hygiene, the first rules of disease control, the first rules of quarantine, all those came from the law of Moses. Now, Lister developed them, and he's part of our using our brains. And since that day, you know, when they have a new disease, they write about it, they try to get control of it quickly. We have new diseases even today all the time that if we didn't have the knowledge and the prior building of that, like I said, when I'm a kid, I don't know. I go out and eat dirt. You know, I don't clean my nose off like I should. I don't know what's going on with my body. I don't have a clue. But you can look at some of the beasts of the world. Most of the exotic diseases these days, including the last great one was the AIDS disease, began in Africa, in the jungles of Africa, from the animals who don't know sanitation, from unclean animals who don't know sanitation, and it spread from there, and that's how it spread around the world, and that's how that disease started back in the 1960s in the jungles of Africa, and nearly all exotic disease begin there. That's what some of the things you learn from the Centers of Disease Control, where all those basic exotic diseases begin. Now, that's in a physical sense. We learned physically how to be clean from the Lord. That's what the rules, the hard, fast commandments and rules he put down in Leviticus Numbers was the rules of living with each other, living with ourselves and living with each other. We now know that. That's ingrained in us. It's part of our, we go to, in the eighth grade or whenever it is, seventh or eighth grade, we take health class to start learning those basic things about health. And we live with them our whole life. Now, you get to the New Testament, and Jesus removed all those requirements under the old law. You can now eat unclean things. Why? Because we know how to cook them. And we've got facilities that can cook them hot enough to do that. We know meat gets old, and we throw it out. You know, I tend to keep meat a little longer than most people, and I get in trouble for it from time to time. You know, us men, we don't throw stuff out quite as quick as the ladies do sometimes. But that's why it's there for. That's why, because we know that. We understand food will get old. You don't refrigerate it. You don't heat it. You don't take care of it in the right way, and it gets old. And so we do that. Now, what we have, and this is what Brother Stephen brought to us a couple of weeks ago, we also have a spiritual cleansing. Brother Stephen brought for us out of Numbers 30, chapter 31, that when men go to war, and this is one of the things, get back into Numbers and Leviticus, and that's where this teaching is. He brought specifically when men go to war. When men go out to war, they get blood on their hands and they kill. And, you know, we've seen men who go into battle, and you got to gear up yourself mentally for that and socially. You got to go out. A soldier's got to gear himself up that he may have to kill people, and he may have to find himself in bad circumstances. And Numbers 31 tells about when you go to war. When you finish the war, you can't just come back immediately. You got to come back and separate yourself out. You've got to cleanse yourself, get that allegedly the blood off your hands. You remember when David, Moses, we know, built a tabernacle. David was going to build a temple, and the Lord said, no, I'm not going to let you build it because you got blood on your hands. You've got too much uncleanness about it. I'll let your son build it. Turned out to be Solomon that actually built the temple. But he would not let David build the altar to himself because he's holy. To go to the temple, which now is our congregation and is us individually, we need to keep ourselves clean. Now, we know about hygiene. We do that now because that takes care of ourselves physically. Sometimes I don't always engage in it, and sometimes it causes me trouble when I don't separate myself from unclean people, perhaps. We all get into that boat. But he's talking here about spiritually. When Brother Stephen gave us this picture about when men come back from war, they need to keep themselves clean and separate themselves from the tabernacle, the family, the tribe, until they did become clean, then they could render. Not only that, everybody they brought captive, they had to clean them. They had to take all the gold and silver, the booty they captured in war. They had to put it to the fire. They had to melt it down because they captured a lot of idols. Well, that would be unclean to the Lord. They had to melt them down. Then they could use them and melt them down, get them back to state, cleanse them. We've heard about the cleansing that when you go through fire. That's part of that where that began is in the Old Testament. Everything we've learned about clean these days originated with the law of Moses. We now know that and we take it for granted, not realizing where we've learned it. But the Lord, all that came from the Lord. But when Brother Stephen, I love the analogy he made when he said, you know, then you got to wash yourselves, wash your clothes. And afterward, then you shall come into the camp. After you've gotten yourself clean, then you can integrate yourself back into society. What the Lord has tells us in the New Testament is we got to get ourselves clean. We need to keep ourselves clean. Now, number one, to separate ourselves from the world. Because this world is a war to us these days. We got to go out every day. I got to deal with somebody at work. We got to fight with somebody. We got to deal with our families. We got to deal with a lot of problems of the world. Everybody has problems. I've said many times, if you know somebody that doesn't have problems, then you don't know them well enough. Because everybody's got problems that we deal with daily. Where we work, where we, you know, where we go about our daily lives, we're going to have problems. Well, before we come to church, we need to cleanse ourselves. We need to cleanse ourselves spiritually. What they did physically back then is a great lesson for us today spiritually. In the 28th and 29th chapter of Chronicles is a great lesson that Jesus was referring to when he cleansed the temple. King Azad, this is after Solomon died, you know, and the tribes of Israel split into two groups, Judah and Israel. Azad was king over Judah, and he went through and he started making molten images for Baal. He started worshiping pagan gods. And he went and went into the temple, and he took away everything out of the temple, all the ornaments, the altar, the candelabras. He burned them down, and he made idols to Baal. He closed the doors to the temple. He put stuff in there and turned it into a worship place for the god of Baal. And, you know, displeased the Lord tremendously, created all sorts of idols. When he died at about 50, he died. His son took over, a son named Hezekiah. In the 29th chapter, Hezekiah looked and saw that his father, Azad, had polluted the temple. He had made it unclean. He had made it an unclean place. And Hezekiah says, this is not right. It's not right to have an unclean place to worship the Lord. And again, they're talking physical here. The example for us is spiritually. Hezekiah, when he took over at age 25 years old, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. 29th chapter of 2 Chronicles. And in the first year of his reign, in the first month, the first thing he did, the first year, the first month that he took over as king, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He opened up the doors to the church house. He opened the doors of the temple and said, let the people come back in. Number one, we need to learn, are the doors to our congregation open? Do we openly welcome people when they come? Do they feel comfortable and friendly to enter here? And said he brought the priests and the Levites and gathered them together in the street and says, told them to sanctify yourselves. And now I want you to go in and sanctify the house of the Lord and carry out all the filthiness out of the holy place. We need to keep our holy place from getting filthy. Now, number one, as Paul tells us in 1 Chronicles 3 and 1 Chronicles 6, our congregation is, number one, the temple, but you individually are a temple also. We need to get the filthiness out of our place. Hopefully, you know, we don't have that in our church, but do we have that individually in our lives? I wish I could say that I haven't always done that. And Hezekiah then says, you need to go through and cleanse the temple. He was the first one to cleanse the temple. He started hauling out all the junk that wasn't in there, took it out and dumped it in the valley of Kidron, the deep valley next to the city of Jerusalem. Not only did he dump it out there, he burned it so it couldn't be used again. Now, you know, I've got something in my life that I don't like, and I'm told to get rid of it. And I go, yeah, I know I should get rid of it. I should remove that part of the unclean part of my life. Well, I'll take it out in the garage and store it and keep it out there. If I take it in the garage and store it, that means I intend to go get it again, doesn't it? Hezekiah says, take it out and burn it. If you've got anything in your life that you know, we all know ourselves, and I'm not going to tell you about the things about myself because I don't want to embarrass myself, I don't expect you to either, but we all got to examine ourselves. As best we can, we need to make our lives clean for the Lord. The Lord has told us He'll bless us for that. If you make yourselves clean, means that those things that don't belong to the Lord, that He wouldn't be proud of and wouldn't like, we need to not only get them out, get rid of them, we need to burn them. We need to get rid of them in such a manner that we won't go back to them, turn back to them and use them again. Because if I just put them aside or hide them in a drawer or put them in my garage and store them, that means I'll be tempted to go get them. And I can promise you, we know the devil will tempt us to go out and get those again. Hezekiah opened the doors, took out everything out of it. He sanctified it. He cleansed the house of the Lord, removed it of all uncleanness. Verses 15, 16, 17 in the middle of that. And then he restored the worship service. Once he got the temple clean, then he could worship again. And the Lord richly blessed him, and it returned the people back to the church. You know, if we've got something in our church, anytime, whether it's something physical in here or whether we're not preaching the truth from this pulpit, we need to cleanse the church. You know, if me as speaker, whoever's speaking, and they're not telling the truth, I'm not telling we have to kill somebody or shoot somebody, but we don't need to have that preached from this pulpit. We need to have the truth preached. We need to cleanse the temple. Anything that's going on here, I mean, and we know, I don't want to bring on any examples, specific examples, but other churches have a lot of things going on in the church house, in the building, that don't have anything to do with worshiping the Lord. And many times they're using it for money-raising purposes. And that's exactly what Jesus was addressing when he cleansed the temple. We need to keep the temple clean, the place of worship clean, so that when we come together, we're not distracted by anything other than worship of the Lord. We believe that includes musical instruments. That's part of the world. I love musical instruments. We know the Lord, in the Old Testament, had musical instruments until they took them and used them in such a manner that it would become worship and idol worship and not to worship Him. We're to keep this place clean to worship the Lord, the place, the physical place. Now, how about the cleanliness inside our temple? We need to keep ourselves clean. And that's what He tells us. We know that... When we get ready, as Brother Stephen told us 2 weeks ago, we go out in the world. We're going to all leave here tomorrow, and we're going to go back to our places of work. And we're going to have to get right back in the world. And we know out in that world is a problem. We got stuff we got to deal with every day. We've got to deal with the filthiness of the world, you know, from everything that's available on the Internet and TV and just the things of the world and dealing with the people we have to deal with. Out in the world is a problem. You know, the Apostle Paul tells us, and not Apostle Paul, John tells us, which it's given to us in John chapter 16, verse 33. The Lord has given us this. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We're going to have tribulation in the world all the time. Everything about in the world is going to give us trouble. We're going to see all sorts of things that don't have anything to do with worshiping the Lord. In fact, would carry us away from that. You know, the devil puts all sorts of things in front of us. And they can be good things. But we cannot let them interfere with our practice of the Lord. My dad used to always tell me, he said, you know, I know on Sunday mornings when the Dallas Cowboys play at noon and when they play at 3 o'clock or later. When they play at noon, there's several members of the congregation are not going to be there. Well, when I do that, and I'm a Dallas Cowboy football fan, I'm a Red Raider, loyal Red Raider fan, and I like to go to the football games. I like to watch them. But we shouldn't let those things interfere with our worship of the Lord. If I go to a ball game late on Friday, Saturday night, and that interferes with my preparation for being here before you on Sunday, then I've come in with an unclean spirit. I haven't cleansed my temple. You know, if I do anything in this world, if I put it before my worship of the Lord, you know, if I decide I want to do that, I need to worship the Lord first, put Him first, and be prepared first. I need to make sure that I have removed all aspects of the world before I come in here. During the week when you're out in the world, you're going to have all sorts of problems, and there's going to be a lot of stress on you, and a lot of people are going to put a lot of things on your mind that don't have anything to do with worshiping the Lord. If I'm caught up in those, and I come down here and I'm working that on Saturday morning, I come in here Sunday morning and I'm still worried and stressed out about that, then I brought an unclean mind in here. I won't get the blessings that I would if I say Saturday, Friday night, Saturday, whatever, stop. Now let me get rid of these things. Let me go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, Help me remove the unclean things of mine before our worship service tomorrow. I need to stop and pray, Lord, that you'll be with us on Sunday morning. I need to go through a cleansing. I need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, get rid of all the things of the world. You know, we hear that in prayers. There's a reason we give that in prayers about, you know, remove the things of the world for us for just a little while. We ought to start that before we get here. We ought to arrive here with the unclean. We're supposed to cleanse ourselves away from the temple, just like Brother Stephen told us soldiers did. They have to cleanse themselves outside the tribe, outside the camp. And then once they got themselves cleansed, they could come in. I can remember growing up, both my grandfathers, I'd see them reading the Bible on Saturday, Sunday morning before they come to church. And, you know, I don't see near as much of that as I used to. I'm not as good about that as I saw them doing. I remember that. And I know any of you that have been in those situations where you've seen ministers do that, you need to cleanse yourself before you get here. We ought to before we leave home, we ought to pray that the Lord would be with us. Lord would be with us and remove from my mind the things of the world so not only I can come and preach or I can come and concentrate and I can pray that the Lord would be with us during the preaching service. That's what it takes to cleanse. That's what it takes to cleanse a temple. That's what the Lord was trying to tell us to do. I don't need to come here thinking about what am I going to do tomorrow morning to make a little more money. What am I going to be, you know, what can I sell? What can I work on in the next few days to make myself some money? If I do that, then I'm like Jesus cleaned the money changers out of the temple. I didn't come here. We know, the Lord knows, you go out in this world to work. We're told we're supposed to work. Any man who doesn't work to take care of his family is worse than an infidel. So we're supposed to work. We're supposed to take care of everything. But when it comes times to come to the temple, we need to stop and cleanse ourselves. Today, that means not only physically, clear the things out of your natural life that don't belong there, because we're supposed to separate ourselves from the world. But he also tells us to cleanse ourselves spiritually. So that I come in the right frame of mind. I come praying that the Lord be with us today. You have the ability to do that, and I'm praying you be with us. Help me get myself in the right frame of mind that I could come and worship you. Because the Lord has told us, when you do that, the blessings on you are going to be greater. He will bless you. He'll bless you when you go back to work Monday morning. That problem that you needed to spend the whole weekend working on, if you come praying the Lord will bless us in this service, you'll be surprised how that problem will get simplified Monday morning when you go back to work. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. When you make yourselves cleansed, the Lord will take care of you. You cleanse yourself for Sunday, the Lord will take care of you on Monday. It'll be a coincidence. It's amazing how little problems, big problems, go away easy, and we'll credit it to something else. But if we put ourselves, our minds right on Sunday, coming to this worship service, or whenever you go to pray, whenever you take time to worship the Lord, we ought to take a minute and cleanse ourselves. Lord, help me read this passage. Help clarify for me this passage in the Bible. Lord, help clear my mind so that I can pray to you in the proper manner. Brother Gary talked about prayer and about do you think to pray. We have to ask for, first of all, cleanse our minds so we can pray. Even the prayer in Second Chronicles, you know, if my people who call by my name will humble themselves and pray, you got to humble yourself before you can pray. But humble yourselves, you know, you say, Lord, I'm bowing to you. Help me pray. Help me pray to you, Lord. Help get my mind right and eliminate all greed and all cares of the world and all idolatry. And let me pray to you. Now, I'm doing that to praise the Lord. You know who gets the benefit? We do. When we do that, we get the great benefit. And he will bless us in our daily lives. You've been kind with your attention to my prayers. The Lord will richly bless each of you.